so true, Robert.
That final edition of World Roots was presented by Lucy Duran and produced by James Parkin, Roger Short and Peter Meanwell.
If you think film music's all about the glitz and glamour of Hollywood, think again. Ever since the dawn of the sound film, some of the greatest film scores have been created on this side of the Atlantic. Join me in Composer of the Week on Radio 3 for a journey through more than 8 decades of uniquely British film music, from Vaughan Williams to Nitin Sawhney, via William Walton, The Beatles, Michael Nyman, Benjamin Britten, Malcolm Arnold, and, of course, John Barry. Join me for Composer of the Week as part of the Sound of Cinema season, weekdays at 12 noon and 6:30 on BBC Radio 3.
And this is BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting between 90 and 93 FM on digital radio and in high-definition sound online. The time now is 11 o'clock. It's time for Jazz Lineup tonight with Julian Joseph.
Hello. On today's programme, as part of BBC Radio 3's Sound of Cinema season, Kevin Legendre joins me for analysis of one of jazz music's most celebrated film soundtracks for this month's Now's the Time feature. Kevin, what album have you chosen and what makes this recording so special?
Well, it's Herbie Hancock's finest moment, I think, as a soundtrack composer. It has an amazing lineup. It's a great historical piece and it has really, really beautiful music like this.
Thanks, Kevin, and plenty more sound and discussion on that later. Also on the programme, I'll be bringing you part two of a special duo concert set by pianists Alex Wilson and Cesar Correa, recorded at this year's Two Pianos Steinway Festival. More from that high-energy Latin piano feast later on the show. Well, let's get things started with something brand new from US sax master Kenny Garrett. This is a side order of Hijiki. Thank you. A side order of Hijiki from alto playing original Kenny Garrett. The new album is called Pushing the World Away and features the breathtaking rhythm section comprised of Benito Gonzalez on piano, Cochrane Holt on bass and Marcus Baylor on the drums. On several of the tracks, he expands the lineup and uses pianist Vernell Brown Jr. and McClenty Hunter on drums. Yet again, Garrett delivers a fine set of original music that journeys through Latin and Caribbean rhythms, as well as the high-energy example we just heard. Garrett in the notes remembers his close friend, pianist, and modern jazz giant, Mulgrew Miller, to whom he dedicates the album. From the highest quality American output to music of quality from this side of the pond, in the form of Empirical. This young British band are Nathaniel Facey on alto, Lewis Wright on vibes, Tom Farmer on the bass and Shaney Forbes on the drums. On this, their fourth album, they are joined by a string quartet, and this is The Simple Light Shines Brightest. Empirical, The Simple Light Shines Brightest, from their new album Tabula Rasa, Latin for scrape tablet or blank slate, out now on the Name label. And if you're looking forward to seeing Empirical live, they perform in London on October 16th at the Purcell Room. For more information on what they and other artists are up to, check out the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. Next up, we move from the alto saxophone to the grand rich voice of Gregory Porter. He's had an amazing 2012 and has gently took the world by storm with that rich soulful baritone voice. Well, in 2013, he releases his major label debut on Blue Note Records. It's called Liquid Spirit, and this is Moving.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string. One that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home. One that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you wanna be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. So far away from me.
keep you moving. Oh, so far away from me.
The sound of Gregory Porter and Movin' from his new album Liquid Spirit, out now on the Blue Note label. The band are Chip Crawford on piano, Aaron James on bass, and Emmanuel Harold on the drums, with T-Von Pinnicott taking the tenor sax solo. Last week, I featured the Roland Kirk re-release Rasan Rasan on Warner Jazz. Today, it's the Duke's turn with Ellington 66. On this album, Ellington covered pieces popular at the time, including The Beatles' I Wanna Hold Your Hand, Mancini's Charade and Days of Wine and Roses. But for our purposes, we stay with Ellingtonia and the title track, Ellington 66. The unmistakable vitality and infectiousness of the great Duke Ellington and Ellington 66 from the album of the same name, re-released on Warner Jazz. Duke's work continues to inspire the generations, as recently the Scottish National Jazz Orchestra were playing a huge program of Ellingtonia, and if you're looking to enjoy some more, then you're in luck, as at this year's Scarborough Jazz Festival, Mark Lockhart reimagines the Duke's music with his Ellington in Anticipation project on September the 29th at the Grand Hall at the Spa in Scarborough. And this year's festival runs from the 27th to the 29th of September. And we'll have more information on that festival on next week's show. Also worth noting, the Scottish National Jazz Orchestra, directed by Tommy Smith, will be performing the music of Wayne Shorter with a very special guest, Branford Marsalis. They'll be performing at the Concert Hall in Perth on September 27th, the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland in Glasgow on the 28th of September, and the Queen's Hall in Edinburgh on the 29th of September. Well, it's time now for our regular monthly feature with Kevin Legendre, Now's the Time. And this month, Kevin, you've picked a release that fits very nicely in the BBC's Sound of Cinema season. It's Herbie Hancock's soundtrack to Round Midnight, a particular success story on many levels.
Yeah, I think this is a great soundtrack because, A, it really works with the film, which is a very good film, and B, it works independently of the film. That's the sign of a great soundtrack, when you hear it in context with the images and you think this is very, very powerful, and then you just listen to the record on its own and you think this really works as a sequence of very, very good tracks. And I think in terms of films about jazz musicians and their lives, this is one of the better ones. It's a very good film, primarily because it's got Dexter Gordon in it. So you've got the real thing. And I think what the director Bertrand Tavernier, who's a very, very respected director in France, who's done a lot of historical films, but who's also a great jazz lover, what he did was bring together these two real-life characters, or real-life musicians, Bud Powell and Lester Young, into this composite fictional character of Dale Turner, played by Dexter Gordon, this American saxophonist in Paris who's befriended by a jazz lover, Francis, and you really see his trials and tribulations, how brilliant he is, also how self-destructive he is. That comes across as being quite authentic, but I think throughout the film, the kind of lifeblood of the film is the music. You know, it's a film about musicians and about music, not a film about musicians taking drugs or alcohol or anything like that. It kind of, first and foremost, it's about playing, and it's about the dedication to the task of playing.
And the cast of musicians is staggering.
It's absolutely unbelievable. I mentioned it in my opening line. It really is stellar. It's a Hall of Fame. Herbie Hancock is the main man, the kind of pivot around which everything spins. He's composing, producing, and largely arranging. But listen to this: Freddie Hubbard, Bobby Hutcherson, John McLaughlin, Wayne Shorter, Dexter, of course, playing, Billy Higgins, Tony Williams, Cedar Walton. And I think one of the really, really kind of astute, very, one of the masterstrokes of the musical casting, Pierre Michelot on bass, who's a great player who may not be that well known outside of France, but he played with Miles Davis and I think Bud Powell and a lot of the visiting Americans in Paris. So again, there's this historical authenticity there.
But also I think Dexter Gordon is one of those guys. Yeah. He was around with Lester Young and with Bud Powell and was an expat. He lived, you know, in Europe as well. So the sense of reality, the sense of authenticity is heightened because he is completely authentic.
It's real.
Yeah, it's absolutely real. And that cast of musicians are some of the greatest jazz musicians of all time. So they're going to bring an authenticity that is truly remarkable, and it's wonderful to see that represented in a film.
And Dexter was Oscar nominated as well, wasn't he, for Best Actor, which had just popped into my mind. And I remember a story of Bob Hoskins, who was Oscar nominated the same year, talking about being with Dexter at the bar at the Oscar ceremony, which is quite an incredible image. Two great characters together.
Absolutely.
From different worlds.
Absolutely. Well, what are we going to hear first, Kevin?
We're going to hear what I feel is the joy track. It's the joy spring of this album. It's a very, very happy, sunny Latin piece written by Bud Powell, mm-hmm. Una Noche con Francis, with both Dexter and Wayne Shorter playing tenor, Pierre Michelot, who we mentioned before, on bass, the great Billy Higgins on drums, Bobby Hutcherson on vibes, and Herbie on piano.
Thank you.
Noche con Francis from Herbie Hancock's Round Midnight, the Round Midnight soundtrack. And it's really great to hear two distinct tenor styles being played off one another. And it really just stands up. Dexter sounds so powerful. Wayne Shorter sounds so incredibly lucid. And it's just exciting. It doesn't matter that they come from two different eras. But what is interesting is the connection between Dexter and Wayne.
It's the contrast. The contrast and the connection, as you say. Think, okay, well, they're from different parts of the jazz tradition, as it were. Dexter, who saw Lester Young playing with Count Basie in Los Angeles, Wayne with his long relationship with Herbie. And I think the two, you know, both of them are influenced by Lester Young. Hear that.
Everybody's influenced by Lester Young. But what's more interesting is the fact that Dexter Gordon influenced John Coltrane. John Coltrane is Wayne Shorter's biggest influence.
Yeah.
The lineage is so powerful. And the power of Dexter, his ideas are so great. You can actually hear them cheering. In the exchanges, you can hear the band just going, whoa, you know.
Yeah, it's a hot moment.
Which is lovely. It's absolutely lovely. Well, what have we got next?
We've got a track which is a key piece for me. I remember first hearing it in the 80s and thinking, it was one of those what is that moments where you hear a piece of music and you think, this is very, very unusual. It's called Béranger's Nightmare. And the title is very, very significant because this is one of those great pieces of music which really capture a moment. It's about somebody waking up in the middle of the night, being very, very tense, very fraught. The tension in the track that he uses and the tension and release between the A section and the B section when it goes to another level, just in terms of the emotion, what he's doing rhythmically. It's a kind of 6-8 thing, I think, that they're using, which is very, very effective. it's just a really, really atmospheric piece of music.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's great to hear that contrast and that release, as you were saying, it releases into a 9/8 from the 6/8 that's set up. And it's a great way of using the jazz texture.
The thing about it which really made an impact on me was how minimal it is.
Yeah.
Especially in that first 6/8 A section. They're just picking, really.
Well, because Herbie's playing inside the piano.
Strings in the piano, and McLaughlin's just picking really beautifully on the guitar. Yeah. And it's like a ticking clock just going round. It's just kind of creating this edginess. And then when the 9/8 comes in for the B section, it's that feeling of, okay, we can relax a little bit now. You know, maybe this nightmare is going to end. There's this, a little ray of sunlight that comes in, and then it goes back to the A section and the kind of fraught nature of it. But I was thinking, especially at that point in time in the 80s when I first started listening to jazz, oh, there's going to be more. I'm expecting more. So that's why it threw me initially. And the minimalism, the fact that they don't play what you're expecting them to play, really is the beauty of the track, the power of the track.
Well, let's have a listen to Béranger's Nightmare. Béranger's Nightmare from the soundtrack to Round Midnight, the film starring Dexter Gordon as Dale Turner. And it's beautiful just hearing this music and reveling in that sound again. And one of the other really special musicians that takes part is Bobby Hutcherson.
Yeah.
And he is a giant figure in the music. And I think sometimes gets a little undernoticed because sometimes the vibraphone is not the most ready instrument that you'll come to when you're thinking about representing any particular kind of music.
I don't think it has the iconic status of a tenor saxophone or a piano.
Mm.
You know, any type of music has its icons, its strong images, its symbols. And I think with jazz, you've got the horns and the piano and the vibraphone. It's more unusual.
What is it that you love about Bobby Hutcherson so much?
What I love about Bobby Hutcherson is both his sense of space, the kind of melting quality that he gets from the way that he chords, the clarity and the articulation. I think the vibraphone is a very, very difficult instrument to play well. And there's something about the way that he gives you that haunting, that mysterious quality, just through the sheer precision of the way that he articulates notes, which I think is really stupendous.
I remember the great Mulgrew Miller telling me about Bobby Hutcherson and just how his melodic concept sometimes goes a little undernoticed, but his melody is so poignant, how he leads to such exciting places, and how he unusually shapes and interweaves melody through his soloing.
Poignant is a good word. I think I use the word haunting. You know, I always feel that there's just such a depth of emotion in what he's doing, and there's subtlety there as well.
I love his technique, I have to say. I love that just fleet ability to get across the instrument and that it never loses purpose.
Yeah. No, he is a giant of the music, no doubt. So having him on this album is a major, major bonus. The other Bobby, who we have to mention, is Bobby McFerrin.
That's right.
Who sings on the title track, does this incredible wordless vocal. And for me, one of the great things about his scat technique and his wordless vocal is the way that he gets so close to a harmon mute. I hear a trumpet. Mm. The delicacy, the thinness of the sounds and the absolute control that he exerts on them, to me, I'm just hearing a horn. I think, I know that Miles Davis is one of his greatest influences.
Yeah.
And he really works well in this context, I think, with Herbie and the other horn players.
Now, talking about subtlety, there's true subtlety going on with Bobby McFerrin. He sings with such a great sense of accuracy to the tuning of the note. And although I agree with the influences, I think because of the way he uses his voice, it's sort of evolved into something of its own.
Mm.
You know, the way he creates that sound. Because I don't know if you remember those early performances of Bobby McFerrin, when he'd probably just emerged a few years before this with that great first album, Simple Pleasures. And he would always be, when you'd see him play, he would either be playing a cello.
That's
or,
it, he's mimicking a cello or a clarinet.
Or a clarinet.
The clarinet was his first instrument.
Yeah. I love that sort of string quality that he brings out, you know, and the little curvature he'll put on the end of a note.
There's a world of music and a range of instruments in his voice. Mm. I think that's why he's a great singer, really, because it's not just about his voice alone. It's about all of the other things that he can channel through his voice.
Tell me what you love so much about Chan Song. That's what we're going to hear.
So it's a collaboration between Stevie Wonder and Herbie Hancock, and I think it just has crystalline beauty, the delicacy. The way that everybody's playing so softly and with such finesse, such precision. And Bobby's vocal, again, we're talking about different instruments that you hear in it. It's almost like a harp in places. It's so fine. It's just this thing which is floating in the air. And it's an intensely moving piece of music. You think, okay, this is really something that came from the heart. So, yeah, it's very special.
Oh, it's a beautiful piece of music. And one of the stunning pieces that exists on this album. There are other stunning pieces, but we're going to hear Chan's song. And Kevin, thank you so much for coming and discussing this wonderful record and soundtrack. Let's not forget that it accompanies a beautiful film. In fact, a film that really represents jazz in all of its glory without veering to the typical stereotypes.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a great film and a great soundtrack.
Well, we're going to end now with Chan Song. Herbie Hancock's Chan Song from the soundtrack to the 1986 feature film Round Midnight. The pure voice of Bobby McFerrin with Ron Carter on bass, Tony Williams on drums, and Herbie Hancock himself on piano. My thanks to Kevin, and all across the network, the BBC shall present an autumn season of programming dedicated to music on the big screen. Radio 3 will have composer George Fenton and director Ken Loach discussing their 20-year partnership as part of the BBC's Sound of Cinema season. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online and on digital radio. Composer Mike and singer Kate Westbrook are a powerful institution of original music making and celebrate their 40-year musical partnership. It's a collaboration that very much hails from the British shores and continues to endure and grow stronger as they extend on their unique musical colours. The new album is called The Serpent Hit and is out tomorrow. This is Trigger.
The great leader heaps praise on the enlightened worker. Industrious labor is rewarded with the pinning on of a medal. With the spinning of the earth, sacred earth, holy world, dancing world, with the spinning of the earth. Who triggers that bomb? Two blazes gone, the burn beyond, the void that joins, the loss of God. The bomb that blows all living things, all living things, to kingdom come. The bomb that blows. The bomb that blows, that blows the place, the whole darn place, that blows the race, the human race, that blows the place. Kingdom come, to kingdom come, that blows the place, that blows the place, to kingdom come, that blows the race, the human race.
Trigger from Kate and Mike Westbrook, a journey through the wanton destruction of planet Earth. The album is called The Serpent Hit and marks the 40th year of their remarkable creative musical collaboration. The Serpent Hit is out tomorrow with a launch and performance for the album on October the 1st at Wilton's Music Hall in London's East End, the oldest surviving music hall in the world. Continuing on with our cinema theme, we come to the brilliant New Orleans trumpeter Terrence Blanchard, who is also one of Hollywood's most in-demand film score composers. And yes, he has a new album out called Magnetic. It features his current working band of Bryce Winston on saxophone, Kendrick Scott on drums, Fabian Almazan on piano, and bassist Joshua Crumley. There are three guest musicians who join the fold in longtime collaborator Lionel Luecki on guitar, Ravi Coltrane on saxophone, and bass legend Ron Carter. This is the title track, Magnetic.
One, two, three.
The chewy and groove-infused composition Magnetic from trumpet maestro Terence Blanchard. The new album is also called Magnetic and is out now on the Blue Note label. Bryce Winston took the tenor solo and Fabian Almazan the piano solo. Time now for our concert set, and tonight it's the second installment of a duo set recorded at the Two Piano Steinway Festival at the Pizza Express London on the 21st of March 2013. Featuring British Latin piano specialist Alex Wilson and Peruvian pianist Cesar Correa. The Latin element in this concert set is explicit, as you would expect, and celebrates two pianists from that palette. They are also joined by Will Fry on percussion and Elpidio Cicido on bass. And they kick off this second installment with an Alex Wilson composition aptly titled Cesar y Alex. Thank you.
Escucha el sabor. We're gonna do like a salsa descarga jam session. We'll just start, see what happens, okay?
Thank you.
Pianist Alex Wilson and Cesar Correa exercising their piano chops and their vocals for an exciting evening of music, ending tonight's highlights of a concert set recorded at the Two Pianos Steinway Festival on the 21st of March this year. Both Alex and Cesar played the two Steinway pianos, Will Fry the percussion, Elpidio Cicido the bass, and Alex has tonight once again literally stepped off the stage of the Pizza Express as the first London Latin Jazz Festival, which he curated, has just come to an end. Well, that's almost the end of the show. But remember, plenty more jazz on Radio 3 with Jez Nelson on Monday night. On this week's show, saxophonist Rudresh Mahanthappa explores the Indian-American heritage in performance with his latest quartet, Gamak, recorded at Ronnie Scott's Club in London. And on next week's jazz lineup, the first of our programs will be going out in our new time slot of 6 p.m. on Saturday, and I'll be presenting concert music by ECM recording artist Quercus, featuring saxophonist Ian Ballamy, pianist Hugh Warren, and folk legend vocalist June Tabor. Also on the program, I'll be joined by Jackie Dankworth with a profile of her brand new album, Live to Love. To sign off with tonight, from saxophonist Gary Shmulian's latest recording, Smooth's Paradise, a tribute to the classic jazz organ trio format. Gary will be touring the UK through September and October with the Nigel Price Trio, playing Shepperton on September 26th, Brighton on the 27th, and the Crypt in Camberwell on the 28th. For more details on that tour, and also on all the tracks played on today's show, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. So, from Gary's album Shmuel's Paradise, here's his tribute to organ legend Don Patterson with Blues for DP. Till next time, from me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye. Thank you.
And welcome from me, Jonathan Swain. This is Through the Night here on BBC Radio 3, a concert from Copenhagen to set us on our way tonight. Christian Järvi conducting the Danish National Symphony Orchestra in October 2012. Christian Järvi, something of a Leonard Bernstein champion, the Mass especially. And this concert ends with Bernstein's Second Symphony. It opens with Janáček's Sinfonietta. Janáček's hometown Brno was the inspiration for the Sinfonietta. The piece is basically a portrait of Brno immediately after Czech independence in 1918. Janáček's own words here: "As if by a miracle, the sheen of liberty spread shining over the town. I saw myself in it. I belonged to it."
Thank you.
Thank you.